flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show took a turn. I'm not stunned. The Lions picked a really bad day to have a really bad day. And Kang, maybe we should revisit your rule, give people a week to get all their crazy takes out. But sometimes it's hard when you just think the rage, the anger is so misguided. And I do, I personally believe it's very misguided. If you think the problem with the Lions is Jared Goff, the problem with the Lions on Saturday night, perhaps the biggest problem, was that the quarterback played below expectation. An expectation that he had set because he was so damn good. He set the bar very high. And I think the fact is he's played four playoff games in Detroit. When you're in the playoffs, you're always playing a good team. In three of those four games, he played pretty damn well. The one that they lost, this most recent one, was obviously an example of him having his share of struggles. And yet they still had a chance to win it. Yeah. If the quarterback, you know, he overcame some mistakes against a playoff team in Houston earlier in the year and helped orchestrate that come from behind win. But it feels to me like the easier path to getting to a better place as a football team is bringing back all those injured players, which was historically bad. Not a Detroit story and not an excuse. That was a national story. Look at the Lions' injuries. So it's not just a Detroit voice saying, oh, we got hurt. Everybody saw it. And trying to improve the defense. Imagine if you coupled, and then let's just take a look at this. You coupled the best offense in the league in terms of points per game, second best offense in the league in terms of yards per game, with something closer to the best defense in the league in points per game and best defense in yards per game. Like the offense could go, they could improve the offense. They could try and improve the quarterback position, which would be very difficult to do. You know, you go and walk into the Patrick Mahomes store and buy a Patrick Mahomes. You know, if you think you can get better, I guess I'm not against it, but how much higher than first in the league can you get?
It's what your eyes saw last, which was a loss and then a game where the quarterback played well below what any expectation would be. I mean, it's one thing when he has set the bar so high because he was with the second-rated quarterback in the National Football League this year, mm-hmm. with damn near 112 rating, which is insane. But when you throw the interceptions, two really bad interceptions, you have the fumble, and it results in points the other way and then prohibitive points that you should have scored, it's a difference maker, and it's terrible. And he knows that. It doesn't mean he's not the right guy. It means he had a bad game. And in a game where, unfortunately, he needed to be really good because we knew going into it the defense had some shortcomings. And then after the second play on the defensive series, you lose another player for the rest of the game with a broken humerus and Amik Robertson goes out. Oh, my God, you got to be kidding me with this all over again. Now who goes in? Well, Kendall Vildor. Okay, going to make as many plays as he can. And then Melifonwu gets hurt. And now you got to shuffle around again. It was just so much for the defense to overcome. it was insurmountable.
I guess what I'm hearing now from two of the last four callers is kind of start over. If you're changing quarterbacks, who can you actually get right now that's better than Jared Goff? Okay, if you can get that, not sure where that is. Creatively, can we come up with something? Or B, draft one, move up in the draft and draft one and start over?
Is it a non-starter though because he's signed?
Yes, this is what I suppose these people would be in favor of.
Or are they just...
Think about the reality of what you're endorsing. You're endorsing an F them picks move to go get a quarterback that might be better than Goff, or an F them picks move to move up in the draft and start over offensively with a rookie? Like, what is the solution then?
I think we need to understand, I think there's a small percentage of the Lions fan base that feels this way.
Well, they've called.
And that the reason is because the giant flaw in Jared Goff's game is mobility. And when you see on display a guy like Jaden Daniels, who is mobile, even though the mobility is not what hurt the Lions in the game, we were all worried about him taking off and going. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the defense couldn't get any pressure, and he sat in the pocket forever until guys got open, and he delivered.
Forever.
There was literally no pressure. And one play, they get pressure. He rolls to his right, throws it to a spot perfectly to a guy who literally has a hand blindfolding him, and he makes the catch on the sideline. It was amazing.
Deami Brown has really come on. But look, it's...
So are they saying they want Hendon Hooker without saying Hendon Hooker's name?
If the Lions benched Jared Goff for Hendon Hooker, how do you think the league would react? What do you think people would say?
What are they doing? Isn't what they would say.
They would say, what the f*** are they doing? Yeah.
The other option is get that caller's wife who's just as good as Jared Goff and save a bunch of cap money.
Excellent point.
Because his wife could just as well as Goff with this offensive line.
She would hold out.
Yeah.
So we've had two guys that would make a change at quarterback. The guy in charge just got named Executive of the Year by the Pro Football Writers Association of America.
Yep, and the Assistant Coach of the Year.
So we'll see if he earns it by getting rid of Jared Goff.
Who, by the way, is a top five finalist for MVP.
Yeah, but the Lions just lost the Assistant Coach of the Year, Ben Johnson, who's going to Chicago.
Let's get back to your phone calls. John and Ipsy. Hi, John.
Let's go. I am so fired up. I love you guys. All right, what do you guys say? It's a copycat league. Mm-hmm. All these people that are talking, they're starting the Jared Goff chance when we're getting bored with it. They're like, hey, this is the Griffin's plan. And now they're on him. Am I on or no?
Yeah, I'm having problems following you. Okay. What is the Griffin's plan?
No. Minor league hockey. I'm just saying, I've never heard, Doug, you're always like, treat everybody kind.
I try. I'm not perfect, but I try.
And then Gator talks to me through it. Kane talks to me through it. And I'm like, all right, which... But now my aggression is going towards these people saying, whatever, you know, we saw Michael Vick come out and everybody goes, we need a mobile quarterback and you can throw a million miles an hour. What are we looking at right now? Okay, great. But, you know, Susie come latelys. And I don't give these people the time of day. That was one of my biggest concerns as we keep winning, you know, it's kind of Wings fans. We slowly creep in and then you get snobbery. This is Detroit. This is what we love. If you back off Goff right now, it's unconscionable. You don't do that.
Well, you can't. First of all, they can't because they're committed to him. They've committed financially to him for years, as they should. He deserved the contract. He's the quarterback. So I don't know what it is. With Lions fans, if you're coming out right now and you think he's the wrong guy, is this just a case of, hey, I want to be first to the airwaves to say it so I can tell you I told you so if things don't work out? You know, or when things go well, you're going to remain radio silent for the entire season until they finally lose a game. And then, oh, look who's back. I told you way back when. Oh, okay. Yeah, before they were 15-2.
hey, all season long, people at UMCU, they've been Lion fans sticking behind their team, and the official credit union of the Detroit Lions is celebrating what was still an epic season. Not only did they clinch back-to-back NFC North championships, but Jahmyr Gibbs also shattered the record for the most touchdowns in a single season. And to celebrate, UMCU has a great offer for you. Right now, earn 4% on CDs. That's right. Secure your funds and watch your savings grow with confidence. All you need to do is do what I did, which is become a member at UFCU. It's quick and it's easy, and then you can take advantage of great offers. Celebrate the Detroit Lions with 4% on CDs at UMCU, and you only need $1,000 to get started. This promotion is available for a limited time, so join that winning team today. It's easy. Visit umcu.org. That's umcu.org. Some restrictions do apply. Corey, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Corey.
How are you doing?
Well, good, Corey.
Good. I'm on that. I don't think we should replace Goff, but I think what we need to keep in mind is Goff actually goes down. You guys want to build all around Goff. If he goes down, what happens if we replace him with a mobile quarterback? Now we got a guy that's not sitting in the pocket. And we got a guy that can get outside, you know, and now we got to build a line around that guy.
Well, so, if he goes down, if he gets hurt in week three, they've got Hendon. If he goes down in week three, they've got Hendon Hooker as the backup. And there's a guy who's got mobility and who's now, who at this point will have been in the system for a couple of years and you hope would be able to run the offense. You wouldn't expect him to be as good at running the offense as Jared Goff, but he would bring about that element that everybody seems to covet so much, which is mobility.
Well, it's not just mobility. Whenever Goff tries to go make a play, you know, outside the pocket or otherwise, he get tackled 15 yards back. He throw the ball over.
What about all the plays he makes when he's in between the tackles and in the pocket and leading the team to 15
quarterback
wins?
If any quarterback in the league, any of those 32 other quarterbacks had Goff's hand, meaning team, you would be talking about them too, right?
Okay,
now.
So you would like, wait, we were talking about you think any quarterback can step in into this offense and run it as well as Jared Goff?
I would think that. Because Jared Goff has a great offense around him.
Do you think any of it has to do with what's between his ears and his ability to process and understand the play, his ability to throw a football on target and
he
on time?
He can do that as long as he have time to do it as in any quarterback.
He was second best in the NFL under pressure.
We could keep going with all of that.
Sorry to bring up evidence, but
Hold on a minute.
When we look across the line at Washington, you see how poised that young quarterback was? He just sat back in the pocket. He ran the ball when he had to run it.
Who do you think had more time to throw than Goff?
No.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he did. Not even close. The Lions didn't pressure him at all.
All right, I'm giving 1 week, right, Doug? Am I supposed to? Is this part of it? Is this part I can't do? The Lions fan base is drunk. Go home.
Clayton is next. Hi, Clayton.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, I agree with you guys. It's not Goff. There's nothing wrong with the offense. We got great players on the offense, a good quarterback. It's the defense. You got to upgrade the defense. You cannot let a quarterback stand back there and pick you apart because you're not getting pressure on him. You have to have some kind of pressure to make him make mistakes, to make him hurry throw the ball. So it's nothing wrong with the offense. I like Goff. He's a good quarterback. I don't mind having him as our quarterback. We need to upgrade that defense. We need somebody that can rush the quarterback, put pressure on him, give Aiden some help. That's it.
There feels like there's real simple solutions, but people are trying so hard to make the solution something way more complicated than it needs to be. If you think the solution has anything to do with replacing the quarterback, think about how complicated that solution actually is. And with no guarantees, you're even going to find a better quarterback than him. Which quarterback that you know that's better than Jared Goff is actually available? A. B, the cap hell you'd be in from moving on from Jared Goff. I suppose you could always just bench him. And then you'd be wasting all that money. And instead of investing resources into helping out what is so obviously the weaker side of the football, the Brandon is next on 97.1 The Ticket in Livonia. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Brandon from Livonia, longtime listener, season ticket holder. Some of these callers are ridiculous with the Goff hate. I'm a big Goff fan, and obviously he had a terrible game Saturday, but I personally believe the reason why we lost is not necessarily just because of Goff, but I think a large part of it was to do with the game plan and the game script. You know, we had a heavy, heavy pass. I think it was like 45 pass plays, 23 run.
But they also threw the ball like 17 times in the last two drives when they got down by double digits. So it's a little skewed.
That's fair. Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, even people around me and stuff, like while we were watching live, you know, I was just like, hand the ball to Gibbs. You know, I really feel they abandoned the run early. I know they were down, so sometimes that kind of changes the game plan, right? Like, oh, we're down. We got to play catch-up.
Well, here's how quickly things got out of control, okay, Brandon? They scored to make it 31-28. They were down by 3 points early in the second half, right? And then what happens next is – It's incredible. You have the 4th and 2, which should be a stop or an opportunity to stop, and you've got the delay. There are too many men on the field.
The 12 men.
So then they score, and they go up by 10. Lions get the ball back, and I think that's when Jamison Williams throws the interception.
Yeah.
You know, so you have this quick confluence of events that turns it into from a 3-point game to back to a 17-point game. And now you're playing from way behind, and you've got to score as quickly as you can, and that's why you quote unquote abandon the run, because you're trying to throw the ball to get down the field quicker.
Yeah.
At halftime they were at about a 50-50 split. It was slightly more pass than run. Then you do get behind and things get skewed. Roger is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Roger.
Yeah, I just got a couple points. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's not so much that it's Goff's fault or none of that. I'm not going to blame Goff. But what I will say is this. When you go to playoff football, every possession counts, and you have to take care of the ball. So when they was down, when Goff fumbled, by you emptying the backfield, you letting them know we not even finna run at all so the defensive line get to peel their ears back and come more aggressively. Whereas if you got a back in the backfield, you have to wait and see what's happening. Play action helps you out and all that. Secondly.
Well, hang on. We'll let you continue here. But so on that play, it was designed to be a quick hit, I think, to St. Brown. And St. Brown stumbled. And it ruined the rhythm of the entire play. And next thing you know, Goff gets hit and fumbles. Because they were allowing for the defense to pin their ears back and come after him, because they knew he was going to get rid of the ball right away. But the receiver goes down. It's not there. Now he's double clutching and going to look somewhere else and gets hit and fumbles. It's also a play they've run a ton this season in that same situation, and even more dire on 4th down.
Okay, but listen, I understand that and all that stuff took place. But what our offense is predicated on is running the ball. So on 3rd and 1, the better play is to run the ball.
Thank you, Roger. 248-539-9797. Greg in Dearborn is next.
Just for a second, you know how many teams threw for more yards than the Lions did?
On Saturday?
Just period, in football?
This season?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like one. Right. So, I mean, they have – let's not say the Lions' offense is predicated on running the football. The Lions' offense is predicated on the offensive line doing their job so they can run or throw the football, and they happen to throw the ball a lot, and they throw it very well.
Greg in Dearborn's next. Hi, Greg.
And Gator, Dan said that they planned on, if that was incompletion, they were going to run it on 4th.
That's correct.
So, okay. Grief. Stages of grief. We're all right. As a Matt Stafford hater, this is it. These guys, and Gator, you kind of said it earlier, the Goff haters, and then also the Lions haters, just when they finally stumbled, they all had their chance to call in. and I'll have their day where they can say, see, I told you so. And you know, as a Stafford hater, you know, I understand it. I get it. But you guys always kind of have to, like, bloviate and say all the same points over and over again. So what I propose is you make a sounder when these people calling about Goff, saying, one, we're stuck with him until 2028 or, you know, kind of with the contracts, and then just everything that he's done, and then you get – and just a quick supercut, and you can hit that button and see if there's any way that they can come back on any of that. And check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but – Goff used his feet for a nice little 8-yard scamper to get a first down on Saturday, right?
Yeah, he did. I guess this is what happens when you have an incredibly frustrating loss. And I'm not sort of, I've come to realize over the years that it's usually more than one thing or one person. It usually is a confluence of events. Sometimes they're obvious. The San Francisco game felt like it was obvious what all the things that went wrong were. This one's less so. Because I'm not quite sure why Goff was under so much duress, and I'm not quite sure why they weren't able to pressure Daniels much, like, at all. When other times, even with a depleted defense, they were able to get some pressure. But hey, look.
Well, I guess would be that when Amik Robertson gets knocked out of the game, that you're less inclined to put guys on an island so that you could commit more guys to blitzing. The other thing was when you blitzed, you got burned because Jaden Daniels was beyond belief under pressure.
We swing around the NFL next, 97.1. Let's go to Don in Allen Park. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Don.
Hi, I was listening to your show earlier. They're bashing Goff for a bad game. Yeah. Every one of them every good quarterback has had a bad game. The defense, them putting duct tape on a defense in a playoff game, nobody is recognizing how they put together a defense to play a playoff game. Goff has won 20 games for us in the last 2 years. So they keep bashing him. I'm proud to be a Lions fan. He has brought excitement to Ford Field.
Well, first of all, he's won more than 20 games the last 2 years. He's won like 27 games the last 2 years. Secondly, Don, I think what this is still the reverberation of years of frustration, because this incarnation of the Lions with Goff, with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, with Aiden Hutchinson and with the O-line, this group has proven in so many ways to be different than all the previous groups that have preceded them. That when something goes wrong here, I think one of the gut reactions people have is they've got to make a change. Because the overwhelming feedback we're getting in the last two seasons from this Detroit Lions group is that this is a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They haven't won it yet, but they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and they're built to stay as a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and there's no real reason to doubt that. But people want to make radical changes after one, unfortunately, the last game being a very bad one, is a very small sample size of the feedback we've gotten from who these Lions actually are, but they want to make radical changes. Now, I think that's two things. One, it's the frustration that is still deep-seated in our football souls because of the years and years and years of frustration. And two is, you know, it's kind of a hot take world where I see a short-term result, I'm drawing a long-term conclusion.
Those trick plays that they have played several times throughout the season, when they're good, everybody's happy. Well, when it goes bad, Goff's at fault.
Here's the thing. Well, here's the thing, though, Don, and this is what... Like the third down and one call is getting super scrutinized, right? That they passed it, Goff got sacked, then fumbled. Ben Johnson made bad calls all season long, but they were collectively as a group good enough to overcome them. He probably made fewer bad calls than most offensive coordinators.
Right, because every coordinator will make a bad call.
But collectively as a group, they have enough talent, and he made enough good calls to overcome them. On this particular Saturday, that was not the case. They did not do enough well to overcome what was induced by Washington and what was self-inflicted.
Yeah, look, they're going to be kicking themselves all off season. Why couldn't they get off the field when they had 12 men? Or why didn't the coaching staff call a timeout on a 4th-and-2? Why didn't they do that? Why didn't Jamison Williams either throw the ball out of bounds, or why didn't Jamison Williams just take off and run when he realized that, the play is not open? Those are a couple plays that are going to haunt the team for a long time. On defense, it's going to haunt this team that they couldn't get any pressure on Jaden Daniels. It's going to haunt the team that they allowed for a couple of passes that were like, what just happened? You know, Terry McLaurin splitting the defenders and running down the field. Watching Brown catch that pass when he was totally covered but still able to catch the pass. It's going to haunt these guys. Some are mistakes and some are just you tip your hat to the other team and say, great play, but it's what happens when you lose the last game of the season.
Dave is next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
All right, Dave.
Yeah, I was just wanting to say everybody's beating up Jared Goff real bad. I mean, we had the best year I've ever seen as a Lions fan. We should, we embrace him when we're doing well. We gotta embrace him when we do bad. Don't run these guys out of the state. Fan base being there every home and away game makes it better for the team, the culture. Don't be toxic now that we're losing or we lost a game.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. You said like this is the best season we've seen, and it's certainly the best regular season. And I think last year because they got to the championship game and they had the lead at halftime, you might lean to that. But the difference is that team was also not healthy, but was mess loads healthier on defense than this year's team was when they got to the playoffs. It's frustrating.
DeAndre's next. Hi, DeAndre.
Hey, Doug. How's it going, Gator? Kane.
Hey, DeAndre.
Hey, so I'm not a Jared Goff hater, but my only fear is that in order for Jared Goff to win a Super Bowl, everything has to be perfect around him. And I was listening to Tom Brady during the sportscast. He said even when he was playing, Jared Goff had, once you take away that first progression, his feet get to start moving.
Oh, God, he's been so good, and DeAndre. Have you watched him this year? He's done an incredible job at finding second, third, and even fourth options.
I'm just, you know, that's what Brady said, and I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. But also with me watching the game as well, I understand that we just get, you know, he's a good quarterback.
He's been, I guess I categorically disagree. It doesn't. When it's not perfect when he's under pressure. One quarterback is better under pressure, QBR, quarterback rating, and it's Lamar. He is second in the NFL. When, by definition, when you are under pressure, are things going perfectly?
No.
Okay. So, no, he's been very good under pressure this year. And my God, how many times do we see him look to a second, third, or fourth option? It's one of the things we'd ask him about every Tuesday is, was he your second read, third read, fourth read? And he would tell us, like, yeah, I worked my way through the progressions.
Yeah, or the play was designed to go here, but because it was shut down, I had to go over here. And that's what he said with his growth. One of the areas of growth that he had that he admitted to was that he was able to take what the defense was giving him because the first or second option wasn't there. He has grown tremendously as a quarterback here in Detroit. It's been year by year better, 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 and better. There's no question.
All right, so Mike and Rico are coming up next here. Scott Anderson, what do you think the guys will be talking about today?
Oh, it's 4 hours of Pistons talk coming up next.
Have a great show, boys. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.